Looking to give your house, home, castle, or cabin that curb appeal you've always wanted? Let the pros at Rosie on the House go to work for you. Get on the line now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Mind over matter. If you don't mind the heat, it don't matter.
Come on, sweat a little.
Hope you're staying cool, Arizona homeowners. If you've got a landscape or garden question, this is your hour. 1-888-767-4348. As we start in Tucson with Tom on his pomegranate. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. How may we help?
I'm growing pomegranate cuttings in a pot inside of my house, and three of them. One, they're starting to grow pretty well. The leaves are starting to curl. I run a vap cooler inside the house, so I don't know if it's humidity. They're putting out a sappy, gooey stuff. So, and it looks like there's little bugs on the back of the leaf, mainly white, but a few black.
Yeah, the sappy, gooey stuff's coming from the bugs that are sucking. You know, they're sucking moisture out of the tissue of the plant, and, you know, they go to the bathroom too, and so that sticky stuff, or honeydew, we call it, is, you know, the excretion or the waste from the bugs that are sucking on the plant. So probably need to get those. If those pomegranates are rooted, I would get them outside, maybe make the next step, put them in the shade outside. I'd wash those off pretty good. You can use some kind of like a dust or something on them if it gets real bad, but just kind of get them washed off. But I think you need to start getting them, working them to get them outside. They're not going to do well indoors for very long.
Okay. So can I use like a dishwashing soap?
Very mildly. Be careful with that. I would be more apt to tell you to go to the nursery garden center and get, you know, something like a neem oil or an insecticidal soap. It's not soap like you use on your dishes. It's a little bit different than that. So.
But it's important to get it off, though, right?
Yeah, if they're that bad to where you're getting real sticky foliage, you know, you probably do, especially on young, tender plants.
Yeah. Okay, appreciate that advice. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
When we were at my aunt and uncle's house this week, they had aphids on their tower garden. They had this beautiful tower garden full of all these wonderful vegetables that they've been growing that they use for their juicing and their salads, and they had a lot of aphids on it. And Aunt Teresa came in, she's like, I found this online. The guy said, mix in dish soap. I said, you know, I guess you probably could. It would do the trick, but they do make, like you said, a neem oil or you just Captain Jack's, and there's so many great alternatives.
And even insecticidal soaps are different.
Put it on your tongue.
You know, the problem with dish soaps is they, you know, if you use them too strong, they can burn the plant. They can make a sticky mess on the plant themselves. You know, the theory is that the soapy part of that, or, you know, that will encapsulate or cover the plant or the insect and smother them and kill them. You have to really be careful with them here where it's hot. And you get any kind of heavy, like an oil or a soapy type spray on the foliage of your plants, and it can burn them. So just be real careful. I mean, that's why they have instructions. That's why they have things that are, if you want to use something safe and you're not wanting to use chemicals, you know, I'm not sure soap would be what I'd be putting on the plant in my garden anyway. Then, but
I've made soap. You have to start with like a Drano lime lye product. You put goggles on and you wear gloves.
Yeah.
Let's get to Pete in Phoenix next on the line at 1-888-767-4348. Pete. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you about pearl scale. I've had it in the past. I've got a lot of Santa Ana in my yard, and it seems to attack that pretty viciously. And I want to try, what's the preventative for pearl scale, please?
Well, there's a couple things that you can do. Number one is probably water and fertilize a little more regularly. Try and help the plant, compete. Against the pearl scale, that's probably not the right choice of words, but, you know, that pearl scale is attaching itself to the root system of the plant. It's inhibiting the plant's ability to gather moisture and nutrients, you know, and that's how it eventually kills those spots. The other thing would be to aerify and core aerate the lawn. and use lots of sulfur. Well, don't overuse sulfur, but sulfur just by itself is a pretty good insecticide. It also helps keep the soil opened up. And I've got customers that just by using regular applications of soil sulfur on their lawns, it has helped immensely. And then in addition to the soil sulfur, you can use, you know, a product with that, with the imidacloprid in it, the systemic insecticide, you know, usually found as a grub killer or something like that. You know, one or two treatments of that during the early part of the summer generally will also help. But use lots of sulfur, give it extra water, fertilize it more, try and help that lawn just kind of outgrow it and stay ahead of it is probably as good as you can do.
I use a product called from Spectracide called Triazicide around. Will that work?
Don't know. I mean, I don't know that product.
Oh, okay.
So it might. But, boy, get some soil sulfur and put it on there with it. Just sometimes the soil sulfur by itself will be enough.
And isn't that the weed that y'all used to say put no, nut sedge is the one that you get rid of with a for sale sign.
Right, yeah. Well, and we have some things that are pretty effective against nut sedge anymore. But back in the day, yeah, that was the joke, was the best way to get rid of that is move.
You know, listening to Jay talk about hand watering, I am such a frustrated gardener that even that sounds wonderful. My vegetable garden has been dead now for 2 summers. Just change a lifestyle in no time. So I've started container gardening, and that way I have things up close to the house. I have some on the front porch and right on the back porch. But with this heat, I have been there on drip, and I'm still watering them like twice a day.
Yeah.
By hand.
We were talking in here earlier, just in the nursery, there's some, you know, potted things, hanging baskets,
mm-hmm.
that watered 3 and 4 times a day the last few days.
And they look just good if you keep the water on them.
It's a full-time job just watering right now. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get this Getting Potted in the Desert by Mary Lee Pangman, because she's just got all kinds of tips for doing it in the desert. I found other books, but the last author I found was Vermont, so I think I'm gonna change to Miss Pangman's work.
Part of the thing that people do, you know, things are and this is true in a nursery because they are in smaller pots, because you know they're to be sold and moved. But too small a pot, you know, will dry out too quickly.
Mm, true.
And then also, you know, the same principle with pots applies as soil. Get some kind of mulch or something to put on top of the soil in the pots, even to help hold the moisture, keep the soil from drying out so quickly. And there's nothing wrong with moving your pots around a little bit. Get them in a little bit more protected area if you can, when it's really hot, and especially the wind. The wind with pots is just brutal. It dries them out so fast.
That really is cool to be able to move things around and be able to protect them.
Yeah.
And the thing I read that was really tricky about those is when you're watering that often, you're leaching out all the good stuff. It's coming out the hole in the bottom, and you're left with just this kind of dirt. So I've been trying that Bioflora, Romy. I tried the Plantalizer 121. They have tons of products, but they reached out to us because they're made right here in Arizona. They're made in Goodyear. So USA, local product, and all natural. They have products for, I like this one because it works for your plants that are just regular flowers and things, but also for your veggies. So
are they liquid? Or are they?
They have both. Like I said, I'm a frustrated gardener, so I'm enjoying mixing up the liquid right now and treating my little plants, but they also have crumbles you can just throw in there and call it a day.
But in pots, your liquids are probably safer.
Oh, really?
Especially when it's hot. Crumbles or dry fertilizers. Sometimes in containers can risk burning
because
they're a little too strong. So things that are, because you are putting liquid in the pots and everything's are, you know, kind of in a soluble form and you are leaching it out, adding a liquid fertilizer, Bioflora, Biofeed, you know, all of them work. The only ones that don't work are the ones that stay in the container on the shelf in your garage. But you do need to fertilize more regularly.
Well, Bioflora smells natural. I know it's
the real thing.
Yeah, I feel really good about putting it on my plants. You can find it at Elgin Nursery or Summer Winds.
And do they make soil, too? It seems like I've seen a
bioflora. They do have a compost.
Soil. They do.
Yeah. They do a lot of seaweed stuff, if I remember
right. That's the good smells. Yeah, fish and seaweed things. It's kind of this green stuff, yeah.
Good is a subjective word.
Well, this girl likes the good in the Bioflora.
I have not tried their soil products. Just I've stuck with Mel and Mel's mix just because I like him.
And we sell another local product, Hickman's, you know, compost.
The
and
chicken.
And Jim Marshall will tell you, yes, it smells like money to him.
Hey,
it does have it does have a little bit of an odor for a while.
Egg's not the only thing those 6 million chickens produce.
That's right.
The only thing about natural things is if you have dogs.
Oh, boy, yeah. Yeah, they love
so,
getting in there.
You have to do it away from them. Keep them away from it until that odor dissipates, or else they decide that's something they need.
And you had mentioned Mary, that she is a Tucsonian, not by birth, but she's been there about 20 years, if I remember right. We interviewed her earlier in February, and she wrote a book called Getting Potted in the Desert. And she actually, probably not right now because of the heat, but I know she does teach a lot of classes at, I think it's called the Pottery Depot. It's a huge...
Yes, that's a beautiful store.
Just lot of containers and pots and pots and pots and containers. Usually on Saturday mornings.
Of course.
Maybe Saturday. But yeah, I'm sure you could find it.
In Tucson.
In Tucson. Yeah. At potteddesert.com. And I know this weekend at the Magic Garden, Tony's teaching classes on planting to attract wildlife. We had a segment last hour about avoiding wildlife.
Depends on which critters you're looking for.
This is butterflies. This is bees. A lot of pollinators.
Well, this was National Pollinator Week this last week.
Very timely.
I didn't know if
y'all knew
that.
No, I didn't.
And so, yeah, pollinator gardening, promoting the planting of things that do attract bees, hummingbirds, butterflies, is gaining, you know, some national attention. And the thing is, we have some great heat tolerant summer-loving plants that are really good at doing all of those things. You know, red yuccas and red bird of paradise and salvias and coral fountain grass. And we have a whole bunch of things. Even lantana. Lantana is a great butterfly attractor. Milkweeds, all do real well here. All do well in the heat. Can be planted in hot weather. So live a little. Plant something.
That is so fun to do with kids in the house. You know, to attract those critters and watch them, observe them. And you can even earn like a wildlife designation in your own yard. I think it's wildlife.org or something.
Yeah, it's, oh gosh, this is terrible.
I'll find it for the next segment.
But there is a push from the folks at the National Nursery that called American Hort to have 1 million pollinator gardens planted in the United States here in the next few years. So B-Wise, I think it is, maybe B-E-E-Wise, I think. So check that out.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation.